This is Dr. Peter Kachajian. Welcome to the Pain is the Pits podcast here on healthstylesnetwork.com. We're joined today by Dr. Scott Scheer, who is a board-certified internal medicine physician with additional certification in hyperbaric oxygen medicine. He is one of the few medical doctors in the country using an integrative approach to hyperbaric treatment with targeted lab work, diet, supplementation, and additional innovative technology to further advance hyperbaric oxygen therapy's ability to heal wounds and optimize physiology. Dr. Scheer is a medical advisor for Hyperbaric Medical Solutions, an independent provider of hyperbaric oxygen therapy with three locations in the New York metro area. Dr. Scheer, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks so much for having me. Well, hyperbaric oxygen therapy has been around in various forms for many years, actually, and the physiology or the medicine itself came from medicine back in the early 1900s and actually the 20th century. And have you ever heard of decompression illness before?
Sure.
So the physiology from hyperbarics really comes from trying to reverse the injury that can happen from decompression illness. And really what that means is that we're combining the physiology of being underwater, which is increasing atmospheric pressure, with increasing amount of oxygen in circulation. And by oxygen in circulation, I mean the more oxygen that you're breathing. So the two stimuli would be increase the amount of oxygen in the air that you're breathing and increase the amount of atmospheric pressure. And when you do those two things, you can actually drive a significant amount more oxygen into the body, about 1,200% more, or 12 times. And we actually carry this oxygen not on the red blood cells, which is where oxygen is typically carried, but actually in the plasma or in the liquid of the blood. And by doing that, you can get oxygen further into tissues to pretty dramatic degrees. And when you can do that, you can really change physiology, and a cascade of things can happen. But what all that really means in the end is that you're actually healing wounds, really no matter where they are, and optimizing physiology. So that's really what hyperbaric therapy is doing. And I often give the example, it's kind of a funny one, where you have somebody like Lance Armstrong or one of the bike riders that tries to increase oxygen carrying capacity to win races by doping, right? Things like Epogen or auto-transfusing. That's one way to increase oxygen carrying capacity because you're increasing the number of red blood cells. But what we're doing is the natural way of increasing the amount of oxygen is just by increasing it in the plasma itself. So it's a different way of increasing oxygen carrying capacity, and we can do it dramatically more than you can do by auto-transfusing or by using illegal drugs. And
right.
It's a very safe and non-invasive therapy that really has significant healing potential.
Right. So we're dissolving oxygen. What's the normal, like 1-point-something%, and we're getting up to close to 7% with hyperbaric?
So
is that the range?
Well, if you're looking at how much oxygen is in the sea level air that we're typically breathing on Long Island or any place that's at sea level, it's about 21% oxygen.
Right.
So by increasing the amount of oxygen to 100%, what you're then going to do is you're going to supersaturate the plasma of the blood with significant amount more oxygen. So if, like, for instance, if your oxygen tension in your typical blood vessels is about 55 millimeters of mercury, if we increase that pressure to 3 atmospheres, which is about 66 feet of seawater equivalent, that's 2,000 millimeters of mercury that's getting into the lungs and about 500 millimeters of mercury that's getting to the tissue. So if tissue oxygen tension is usually 55 millimeters of mercury, you're getting up to about 500. So it's a pretty significant and dramatic increase. And they actually did some studies on rabbits. It's kind of an interesting study back in the 50s where they actually took all the red blood cells out of them in a hyperbaric chamber and left them with plasma. And they obviously had them on 3 atmospheres of pressure. And they were happy as clams. They were fine. Mm-hmm. Because they didn't need red blood cells. We were able to saturate so much oxygen into the plasma that you didn't even need red blood cells. Mm-hmm. As soon as they turned off the chambers, however, we had some dead rabbits.
Right. Fascinating.
But it's interesting to see, just from an example, like how much oxygen you can get into circulation. And really what that's doing is changing or just causing a cascade of physiological changes that really start at the DNA level. And once you start modulating DNA to upregulate things like growth and decreasing inflammation and preventing programmed cell death, you can really see significant benefits. And one of those largest, I think the largest benefit really is decreasing inflammation.
Right. Pain and inflammation, restoring blood flow. Tell our listening audience exactly how hyperbaric oxygen is administered. How does the process work?
Sure. Yeah. So it's a pretty simple process. We have these clear acrylic chambers made of like a very hard plastic. They're called hard hyperbaric chambers. And you have to go in them. You basically get sealed into the chamber with, in a very, very comfortable way. You're lying on a bed or a gurney of sorts, or you can be propped up on pillows. And then once the chamber is turned on, you feel a pressurization sensation in your ears. And it's kind of that same pressurization sensation that you would feel if you were on a plane or a train and you were just changing atmospheric pressure. And all you really need to do is be able to pressurize your ears as you get down to the level of therapeutic protocol we've decided for you. The therapy levels usually range somewhere between 25 and 45 feet of seawater equivalent pressure. Now, you don't feel like you're underwater by any means. We're just modulating that pressure in a chamber, and so you just feel that as air pressure changes in your ears. And so it takes about 12 to 15 minutes to get down to the pressure where you're going to be treated at. And then during the time while you're at that pressure, you no longer have to have your ears pressurized at all. You just kind of relax, hang out, you watch a movie, you can go to sleep, you can meditate, you can chit-chat with a technician that'll be outside watching you the whole time and making sure you're okay. And then once you're done, you kind of come back up, which means we decrease the pressure back to sea level. And at sea level, you come out. That's pretty much it.
Wow. Did I ask you how you got involved with all of this?
Oh, no. Well, I got involved in a couple different ways. I did my training in the University of Maryland in Baltimore, and they have this this place called the Shock Trauma Center down there. And it's a pretty large trauma center. People from all over the world come and train there. They also have a very large hyperbaric chamber in the basement. And I saw some pretty dramatic things, as you can imagine. Some of the things that hyperbaric therapy treats in the acute setting, which we wouldn't treat in an office, with one of those is decompression illness or diving injuries, although we didn't see that a lot in Baltimore. What we more saw was carbon monoxide poisoning and necrotizing fasciitis, which is the flesh-eating bacteria. Right. And I saw patients on breathing machines, on ventilators, on medications to increase their blood pressures, come out and like literally walk out of the chamber after carbon monoxide poisoning. They look like they were half dead. So, or even almost more than that. It was pretty dramatic. And that's when I kind of thought to myself, all they're doing is getting more oxygen. That's crazy. And we had to figure out how else that could work. I mean, because when it comes down to it, I mean, oxygen has significant healing potential. And the more I did research on it, and my father actually is on Long Island and is a chiropractor up there and was thinking about it from an alternative perspective or how you could use hyperbaric therapy as a sort of an integrative modality up there. And then I realized the way we could potentially utilize hyperbaric therapy was pretty amazing. If you thought about all the different conditions that were related to hypoxemia or the lack of blood flow, and some of those are kind of pain-related as you treat very often, I know.
Yeah, I mean, you talked about how hyperbaric oxygen helps patients, and you know, the Pain is the Pits program is certainly integrative with its pills, injections, therapy, and surgery. But many patients are still hurting, and they're looking for more integrative approaches with the mineral supplements, and hyperbaric is right there. But what do you think? What pain conditions is it most effective for, in your experience?
So, in my experience, I think far and away is complex regional pain syndrome. And I think we've had significant success. I've had a number of patients. I could think of one just a couple months ago that came in. She had a broken ankle, and the ankle was in a cast for a long time. The cast was taken off, and then classic symptoms of complex regional pain syndrome developed, significant pain, temperature dysregulation, everything that you're very well aware of, and I'm sure many of your patients are. And it got to the point where she was on a pain pump and high-dose narcotics and everything that is necessary to help control the pain. And she even had some nerve blocks and was doing pretty well, but the symptoms were just really debilitating. Her quality of life was just terrible. And she came over for a consultation. She got treated with us, and she was able to dramatically come down on all of those medications that she was taking.
Wow.
And it was, we're not talking about a cure here. A lot of, although sometimes we can get close, to be honest, in the chamber, but it really is just another way to decrease inflammation. It's that dysregulation of the vessels in the area of injury from complex regional pain syndrome, where there is probably a hypoxic or a lack of oxygen component in some of that, and obviously a swelling component and a edema component. So hyperbaric therapy can decrease swelling. It decreases inflammation. It also allows the creation of new blood vessels in area of injury. And that's really what we're doing. I mean, really in the acute setting, when you get into a chamber, we're almost automatically and actually immediately decreasing edema, decreasing blood, decreasing swelling. Right. And then over the long term, over a course of therapy, we're actually creating the scaffolding within the tissue itself, improving connective tissue matrix, improving stem cell mobilization from the bone marrow to get to the area of injury, increasing blood vessel flow by increasing angiogenesis or the blood vascularization of the tissue. So it's kind of like a two-pronged approach. So you have like the initial flood of oxygen, which improves the cell's metabolism, decreasing swelling, and getting oxygen to those tissues. And then over the long term, over a course of therapy, you're really seeing the creation of a scaffolding and of an environment that can really maintain that effect over the long term.
Right. I couldn't agree more. We see a lot of success with hyperbarics in our workers' compensation patients, and they're being good about covering it. But what will it take to convince insurance companies and the FDA that hyperbaric oxygen therapy should be covered for even chronic intractable pain conditions like RSD? What's it going to take, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's a loaded question, as you probably would imagine, as to how to get things covered by the FDA and who's on the FDA at the moment looking at the studies. And
right.
One of the challenges that we do have in my business, in the hyperbaric business, is that it's challenging to do large studies because they're expensive. And also, it's also challenging to get what we call in medicine the gold standard, which is the randomized placebo-controlled study. But the studies that have been done have been pretty dramatic, actually, showing significant quality of life improvements in patients with complex regional pain syndrome, other inflammatory conditions. Hyperbaric therapy is also very, very effective for acute injuries as well, acute inflammatory conditions.
Right.
But the challenge with that is that typically these patients are going to get better on their own without hyperbarics, although hyperbarics can just really kind of supercharge and accelerate that process. So I don't know if hyperbarics will ever be approved for the acute injury, but I do think that there is definitely a possibility in patients with RSD and other chronic inflammatory conditions. You could argue there's other inflammatory conditions like even Alzheimer's disease, which is probably a chronic inflammatory condition, or inflammatory bowel disease like Crohn's and ulcerative colitis, because those are all inflammatory conditions that do respond pretty well to hyperbaric therapy,
right,
and in combination with other therapies can be pretty dramatic improvements. So, but I think when it comes down to the FDA, I think there needs to be more studies, more trials. But I also think it has to be looked at from a different perspective, in the sense that this is not a drug, okay?
Right.
In this sort of classic sense. The risks for hyperbaric therapy are much less than most of the drugs that we use to treat these patients. So I would say right now there's probably B-level evidence that hyperbaric therapy can be effective in RSD or in complex regional pain syndrome. But I do think when you're looking at it in the general scheme of the larger group of treatments, it's challenging for the FDA because of that type of evidence. We don't have those large, multi-centered trials.
Right. So, reports, just not the large trials.
We have some placebo-controlled trials. We have some crossover-controlled trials. I have a group in Israel that I work with very closely. They're actually the largest hyperbaric center in the world, and they're just churning out studies. They just did a study not too long ago on patients post-stroke and also patients with fibromyalgia, actually. So, and they had significant improvements in patients with fibromyalgia and their symptoms. So I think that we're going to get there. But as you know, the last people to ever sign on are the FDA. So people in Europe, like the European countries, they have about 60 indications that are covered by by the insurance companies of Europe, wow, and actually Japan and China, hyperbaric therapy being a modality. Here in the U.S., we have 14. So yeah,
don't give up on them.
No, I'm not.
I mean, Hyperbaric Medical Solutions. What can you tell our listeners about your company, Hyperbaric Medical Solutions?
Okay, yeah. So Hyperbaric Medical Solutions is a great company. They're an independent provider of hyperbaric therapy in the New York metro area. Three locations. They have a new location in Manhattan that just opened about a year ago. And they also have a location in Woodbury and Medford. And really, we are the premier independent hyperbaric provider in the New York area. Really, we have the ability to do everything. We do wound care. We also do what we call the areas of complex regional pain syndrome and inflammatory bowel disease and patients post stroke that are not covered by the FDA yet, but there's significant evidence that hyperbaric therapy can be effective. We also can treat the outpatient indications that are FDA approved, like patients with radiation injury from cancer, diabetic foot ulcers is a very common one, sudden hearing loss, chronic bone infections. We can do all of it. And there's very few centers out there that take insurance and that can do kind of both sides of sort of the research investigational side, as well as the FDA approved side, the things that are covered by the FDA and do very much respond to care. We have patients post radiation injury that do dramatically well in the chambers after many years of suffering, preventing amputations in patients with diabetes, et cetera.
Yeah. Now you're going to start this up on the West Coast and then spread it nationwide. Is that the hope?
Well, I think the hope with Hyperbaric Medical Solutions is that we can really consolidate and really show, I think, insurance companies as well as doctors and patients alike in the New York metro area that we have a sustainable model, that you can do both, that you can treat patients with hyperbaric therapy that, you know, even on the investigational side, and really, you know, get some good data there and hopefully get some good case reports and kind of stimulate the FDA to look at these things in a different light or again and again, as you know how it goes. Sure. And we can really kind of make change happen and also just increase the awareness in the community, in both the lay community and in patients as well as in physicians, that this is a viable therapy strategy and can be really helpful for your patients and their quality of life.
Yeah. I hope this
And then maybe been, then take a nationwide.
Yeah. I hope it's been very informative. Thank you, Dr. Scheer, for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks so much for the time and good luck to you with your program as well.
Yeah, we'll get there. We just want to remind our listeners, you can learn more about Hyperbaric Medical Solutions at hyperbaricmedicalsolutions.com. And for more on Dr. Scheer and his medical practice, visit www.integrativehbothyperbaricoxygentherapy.com. This concludes today's Pain is the Pits podcast on healthstylesnetwork.com. This is Dr. Peter Kachajian, and don't forget to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Be comfortable, America, and remember, feel better and live your life because pain is the pits.